This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. I'm Roshan Gunnison and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business, from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, we explore the newly formed Sunicorn Collective and whether building startup unicorns is an outdated notion with Dr. Sivapulan Vivekaraja, senior partner and co-founder of Scale Up Malaysia, as well as Ramachandran Muniandi, CEO and co-founder of Asia Mobility. They're both co-chairs of the newly formed Sunicorn Collective. Now, this is a membership-driven platform that is hoping to groom Malaysia's next generation of unicorns and foster a strong startup ecosystem in the country through policy proposals and engagements with government leaders. Working with Proficio Consultants and in partnership with Panjana Capital, they announced a pioneer group of 18 founders for this platform. And some notable names here from this batch include Nadira Yusuf from KiroCare, Gideon Lim from BloomThis, and Hui Yik Xiong from Direct Lending, all of whom have been on our 10 a.m. show Open for Business, and you can check that out on the BFM app, the BFM website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look up for Open for Business. Now, the Sunicorn Collective is kind of a pivot from the 100 Sunicorns program that was launched just over a year ago, and that was focused on monthly discussions between founders on their own experiences and challenges regarding issues that they face in the early stage to the Series A stage and beyond. Participants also had the opportunity to engage with local and global VCs. Over the course of today's conversation, Dr. Siva and Ram will help us get a better understanding on why the change in the program, what this membership-driven platform will look and feel like, and the value it intends to bring to founders, but also the wider startup ecosystem. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts you get or questions, you can ask us over WhatsApp at our U-Mobile number. That's 018-789-8899. Doc, Ram, welcome back to the studio. Happy Monday, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Roshan.
So I think it was last week, or was it the week before, when I saw the press release that this had changed. I look at our producer, Kishan. I said, Kishan, get in touch with Doc Siva. I want to talk about this. And before we talk about the Sunicorn Collective, of course, Doc, on the surface, building Sunicorns and unicorns does sound like a good thing, right? It sounds like a positive thing. But the focus on building unicorns has gotten a bit of a bad rap over the last few years. I think that's fair to say, between the fact that many faced difficulty turning a profit, that growth at all cost mentality, just get to that $1 billion valuation, doesn't matter how you get there. And then, of course, we saw the fiasco that was the WeWork initial trying to IPO, and then just the fallout from that, as well as the new funding climate thanks to inflation and high interest rates. The unicorn shine has dulled, to say the least. So, Is focusing on building unicorns here in Malaysia really the way to push forward the ecosystem? Is that perhaps maybe an outdated or even wrong way to look at it, Doc?
So I'll start, but I think Ram has something to say because he wants to be a unicorn. So I think, yes, there were a lot of fiascos with a lot of unicorns failing. That I don't think is due to the fact that, you know, companies are bad per se. I think this whole Silicon Valley mantra of just chase revenues, get to your next round, and the next person that invests in you will make you a unicorn. So I'm not sure whether that's the right way of trying to build a unicorn, just building it on the next round of valuation or the next round of valuation, and then hopefully they get a listing when they are really large revenue companies. But that mandate, mantra has changed recently. I think, per se, trying to build a unicorn is a good thing. In Malaysia, if we do build unicorns, what will happen is that there'll be a lot more investments coming into the ecosystem. There'll be a lot more companies wanting to build larger entities as well. So although we do have a bit of a focus on trying to build unicorns, what I am really keen on is to try and build at least $100 million companies. Mm. So it doesn't have to be $100 million valuation company. I think it would be much better if you can build companies that are profitable, and then, you know, they can get a valuation based on the profits. Mm. And if you look at, just let's look at IPOs, for example. Today, IPO valuations are based on, let's say, profits. You can get a 20 to 30x valuation based on your profit. So if you can get to a 10 million ringgit profit, you can be valued at 300 million ringgit. I think that is the kind of things that we need to do. And that's what, you know, I personally would like to focus on with the Sunicorns. So Sunicorn is a soon-to-be unicorn. And everyone thinks about unicorn as a valuation kind of unicorn. I rather look at it from a unicorn that's building a great business. A Sunicorn that's building a great business that when they are finally successful, they will be valued at unicorn status. Just like one of the examples that we had when we visited Victrox in Penang. Mm-hmm. So Victrox is worth about 7.5-8 billion ringgit today. That's like, you know, almost a $2 billion unicorn. But he built it based on building a profitable company that grew a little bit slower than what the VCs like to do. But ultimately, it became a unicorn, but it's on solid ground. Mm. So I think we need to try and look at it from that angle. But if we do build $100 million companies, you will get a lot more investors coming to Malaysia. You will build a much stronger ecosystem. The government will also make more money from taxation and things like that. And they will hire people and pay them more so that, you know, lifestyles will get better for everybody as well. That's kind of like what we want to do with the Sunicorn.
So actually, it's a reframing, even a redefinition of what it means to be a unicorn. So forget just trying to get that billion-dollar valuation. Let's look at different ways to look at unicorns or reframe that. So I got a title for this episode. It's going to be Who Wants to Be a Unicorn? And Ram, you want to be a unicorn, correct? So yeah, talk to us about your thoughts on the initial question, Ram. Is that mentality around how we thought about unicorns outdated? I mean, Doc has given his perspective there.
Yeah. I think the Malaysian unicorn needs to be defined. The Malaysian unicorn is not going to be like the American version. I think we need to really get out of that reference point. You know, we need to really define what that looks like for a business birthed out of Malaysia achieving $1 billion valuation. What does that look like? You know, and we actually operate in an environment where if we were to apply the US model of building a unicorn, you would not survive beyond the first year. You will not be able to raise that amount of money in the first place, right? So it's a dead idea, right? And that is why how we raise money is going to be different, how we grow the business is going to be different, and what constitutes success on the way to achieving $1 billion valuation is going to be uniquely defined. There's going to be a Southeast Asian flavor to it. There's going to be a Malaysian identity to it. And that is really what's driving me and the rest of the founders in the collective. Out of the last year where we were all part of the 100 Sunicorns, that inaugural program that was the catalyst to the collective today, we actually started off, you know, I still remember the very first meeting that we had. So we were all there. Fresh eyes and trying to, you know, figure out who's in the room. And Doc Siva then poses the question, now, how many of you here wants to be a unicorn? Hardly a hand went up. And he was perplexed, but I think he's kind of expected that as well. But he wanted to dug out the reason for that from us. And he's like, you guys are all part of the Sunicorns program. None of you want to be a unicorn, right? And so then we unpacked that, right? The reason for that. And then we realized, actually, we've got something really precious here. We are all not building companies for the purposes of valuation, right? We are all here building companies that would have public impact, you know, companies that are here to stay, right? But we will all welcome the milestone moment at some point, securing $1 billion valuation. That's a milestone moment. Yeah. It's not the reason why we do what we do, right? And so because of that, it's like road to IPO, it's a road to unicorn. It's a marker in your journey, right? You don't suddenly become a unicorn company and then you stop flying, right? You've got a unicorn, the horse has just gotten its wings, it needs to fly, right? So that was what is, you know, was the guiding point that we discovered was shared, but never expressed. We've never had the platform to actually unpack this with other founders. It's all kind of deeply embedded in our unconscious, but we never got the chance to actually put words to it, what we felt, what was driving us, what caused that fire in our belly as founders, as CEOs. And then we realized there's a common thread that ran across all of us in that first batch, in that group, that we felt was quite special. That was when also we realized that as a collective, there's something here. There's something that has started. There's a movement that has started in Malaysia among this generation of startup founders that I think will cause a significant shift in how we actually view startups, how we invest in startups, and the kind of expectations we place on founders here. I think is going to be significantly different. It's going to be nation-changing, nation-building in nature.
Can I just add, Roshan, at our first meeting of the collective, I asked the same question. How many of you want to be unicorns? And this time, there were like four or five hands there.
All right, so people are getting a bit more ambitious, a bit more confident in that ability. Yes. But I guess it comes back down to that redefinition and having that conversation with other people, other like-minded community, to kind of either tell you whether you're crazy or not, right? Because when you're doing it by yourself, it can be a very lonely journey. And I do want to get into the Sunicorn Collective and what changed from the 100 Sunicorns. But first, we got to go into a few messages. Folks, I've been speaking with Dr. Sivapalan Viveka Raja, Senior Partner and Co-Founder of Scale Up Malaysia, as well as Ramachandran Muniyandi, CEO and Co-Founder of Asia Mobility. They're both co-chairs of the Sunicorn Collective. And today we're talking a little bit about why this newly formed Sunicorn Collective was formed. This is a membership-driven platform that's hoping to groom the next generation of Malaysian unicorns here in Malaysia. So if you want to find out, keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, we're exploring the newly formed Sunicorn Collective, a membership-driven platform that is hoping to groom Malaysia's next unicorns and foster a strong startup ecosystem in the country through policy proposals and engagements with government leaders. Helping me discuss this is Dr. Sivapalan Viveka Raja, Senior Partner and Co-Founder of Scale Up Malaysia, as well as Ramachandran Muniyandi, the CEO and Co-Founder of Asia Mobility. They're both co-founders of the Sunicorn Collective. Earlier, we talked about whether the concept of unicorns, whether focusing on that was an outdated notion, and both Doc and Ram talked about how we need to redefine and reframe what it means to be a unicorn, but also a Malaysian unicorn. Now, 12 months ago, the program, the precursor to this program, the 100 Sunicorns, as we mentioned earlier, that's what it was called. So, and Ram, I think you gave us a little bit of an insight as to maybe the origin story as to where this pivot came from. So maybe tell us a little bit about how much has changed with the underlying mission and aims here now that this has shifted over to the Sunicorn Collective.
So let me do that. When we started the 100 Sunicorns, we call it a Sunicorns program. And that was what it was. It was about conducting programs and activities so that, you know, the Sunicorns come and learn about things. And then when the budget came along last year, you know, I'm very much into policy. When the budget came along, we said, you know, should we put in some policy recommendations? Because, you know, everybody here needed something. So we put in about 10 recommendations before Prime Minister Anwar delivered his budget, and two of them were actually accepted. One of them was to give visas to foreign students to study in Malaysia to stay on and work in Malaysia. So we keep the talent, we don't lose the talent. And the second one was to get more market access done for startups. And that actually, you know, made me think that if just in a very short period, we can just put in a few recommendations and get two of it approved in a budget, that means there's some power in this group of Sunicorns that are there. And that's when it became the Sunicorn Collective. So we decided that, you know, we don't want it to be just a training, coaching kind of a program. We want it to be something a lot, something more. We want to use the power of the collective and all of the Sunicorns that are in the collective to do more, not just for themselves to learn and improve themselves, but to give back to the ecosystem, help develop the ecosystem so that everyone else also benefits. And that's the power of the collective. So going forward, there will be learning programs. We will do a lot more leadership as well. We will also have, you know, VCs and unicorn founders and the rest of them coming and speaking like they did the last time. But this time, we want to do more in building the ecosystem. We want to help other startups to become sunicorns and then become unicorns as well. We want to make sure that Malaysia is positioned as a hub to attract more people to come and work in Malaysia. We want the talent to come in Malaysia as well. But to do all of that, there are a lot of weaknesses still in the Malaysian ecosystem. So we need to address these weaknesses. That's why going forward, we will be doing more engagements with the government, with the ministers and so on. In fact, we have one coming up in April where we will be talking to Deputy MITI Minister, YB Liu Chin Tong, about some of the plans that he has to create 101 billion ringgit companies. So these are some of the things that we want to do, and we feel that as a group, as a collective, there's a lot more we can do than just thinking about ourselves. We should also be thinking about other people.
So a lot of the mission remains, but it's just being reorganized. It's more, it's being made more organized here. The collective can do advocacy as well, a little bit of a think tank nature to it, you know, able to put proposals out there. So you're coming together and then growing the membership. Is there anything that's going to drastically change from the 100 Sunicorns program?
So one of the things that is changing is that when we did the 100 Sunicorns program, we did it cohort by cohort. And it was a defined 12-month period. So one cohort comes in, we have a 12-month program, and then it ends there. With the collective, it's membership-driven. It's almost like a club or an association, but an unregistered club or association. just like that, it's membership-driven, so you can join and you can stay for as long as the collective is active and running. If anyone wants to join at any time, they can. Previously, they couldn't. Previously, they had to wait for us to launch a cohort and then only they could join. So now it's open. Anyone can join. But we do have some criteria as well for the people who are going to join. And, you know, one of the criteria is that when people are going to join, they have to go through an interview.
Okay.
And I let Ram expand a little bit on what's going to go on in the interview.
Ram, tell us, what are other possible sunicorns? What do they need to expect in this interview?
Yeah, I think we are looking for like-minded founders and CEOs who share in common values that we discovered the collective had among us. It was an organic discovery process, obviously, in the last 12 months, but it wasn't something that was artificially constructed. It came out of us building relationship with each other. So one of the key things that came about, and this is what I treasure the most out of the program that has now become a platform, is true, solid, strong relationships that have been forged among founders in the group. That we become champions of each other's business. We actually help each other out through the seasons, you know. And that is one of the key qualities that anybody who wants to join us, you're joining us not just for yourself, you're joining us for us, right? And that is what we're looking for, really. This is not a, you know, ticket to become a unicorn. This is a platform, a community that will help you, but you will also be helping the rest, right? It's really a platform that allows us to give back as we receive from each other, right? And that is what we discovered happened with us. So a few of us, some of the names that have been on your show, who is part of the collective, they are some of my closest friends now, right? And I love what they do. I love their businesses, and we are constantly cross-promoting each other, right? And that hasn't happened for a long time. Especially among startup founders. It's always a very lonely journey. You are there fighting for your business and you're doing this on your own. And a lot of startup founders that have become unicorn founders have had very similar journeys globally, right? So not just a Malaysian problem, where founders become these almost, you know, demigods status because you're one of a kind and you've led this company and your successes are attributed to yourself, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses, right? But that is not realistic, actually, right? You can't build a startup in a vacuum, especially not one with $1 billion valuation potential, right? That exists in a community, that exists in the context of a city or a nation and a region. And so that community of startup founders is what we have here now, right? And that is what we'll be seriously looking at. We know the kind of founders that should join us. We also know the kind of founders that should not be joining us. Mm-hmm. It's obviously not a you know, collective that is geared for everybody, right? But I think there are enough such founders out there right now who would really benefit from this. There will be also future founders that will be inspired by this. And that's the other thing, right? It's about how do we then inspire the up-and-coming next 100 founders that are probably still in school right now, probably just coming out of, you know, university, wondering about what is it their life call is going to be, right? Mm. And we are now creating a platform that will be ready for them when they're at that stage and say, yeah, great, I've, you know, started on this business. It was a startup spawned out of university, but now I've got access to 80, 90, 120 founders who are tight-knit, who are share a common value system, who are all here in Malaysia and not some, you know, foreigner out there who doesn't understand the Malaysian challenge. Mm. You know, we are localizing it, right? We are localizing the support. We are building world-class you know, support for founders here, and at the same time, unlocking future talent. You know, there's a lot of things happening here, but that is what makes it really exciting. So that is what I think we have the potential to unlock here in a huge way.
I'm inspired. I want to go and start it. Make my way towards it. But, you know, I just looked at the criteria and I'm probably like 2 million ringgit short of So there are some other criteria, of course, and aside the vibe check, that is obviously very important to the both of you, because you want to make sure that the vibe is right in the collective. The selected founders need to be CEOs or C-level founders. They to participate, they also have to at least have raised about 2 million ringgit, or in dollar terms, $424,000, or generated $1.6 million in revenue over the last 12 months. So yes, it's either or, not both.
It's either or.
Yeah. So you've never raised any funding, but you've built a business that generates this much revenue. You qualify at least base level here, and then it's down to the interview and making sure you pass the vibe check.
Right. You got to get through RAM.
There's got to be a WhatsApp group, right? There's definitely a Sudicon WhatsApp group.
Yes.
How active is this? I mean, you know, what is it? Just called Sudicon Collective, or do you have some fun creative name?
Okay, we never thought of a fun creative name. It just called Sudicon Collective at the moment.
Jokes aside, this does sound very interesting, and there's a qualitative element to the collective, not just about numbers or not how much revenue you're making. And I guess there are other groups out there that do similar things with similar criteria, but I guess different ways of doing it, right? So is there a reason why, for these numbers in particular, is there a reason why you want to see 8 million ringgit in revenue and 2 million or $2 million ringgit in funding? Any particular reason for those numbers?
So, you know, I've done a lot of coaching training for the last 25 years and stuff.
Is it like something like 3,000 startup founders it's that you've worked with?
3,000 startup founders, more than 1,000 companies, you know. And over the years, what I've discovered is that there's a lot of capability development programs for the early stage founders. A lot of them are looking after the early stage founders. All the agencies do that. Mm. But when the guys raise money or get to a certain stage, there isn't anything for them, or there's very little for them. So if, even with Penjana, this is a Penjana program as well. Mm-hmm. So even with Penjana, they say that once they have invested in all of these companies, they realize that these guys are all alone. There's nobody really supporting them or helping them. So actually, the 100 Unicorns started because of a conversation I had with Taufik. Taufik is kind of the CEO of Penjana. And he says, Doc, can you do something to help all of the guys that got funding here? Mm. Because nobody's doing anything for them. And they're all working in silos. It was interesting that even within a venture capital fund that invested in many, many companies, they all didn't know each other either within the same fund. So that's where I think, you know, we need to do something for the later stage companies. And the requirements of companies that have raised funding or have like 8 million ringgit in revenue is very different from early stage startup companies. So that's why we think that, you know, we need to have something else for them. The other thing is that these are the guys that are hiring, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 staff. And they are hiring knowledge workers almost exclusively, right? And if we can grow this size of companies, even if they raise 2 million, 3 million, or 8 million, if we can grow them into sunicorns, if we can grow them into 100 million ringgit companies, imagine the impact it will have on the ecosystem. As much as building a unicorn is great because it provides visibility to the country and brings investors and so on in, if we can build 100 companies that are making 100 million, and that's why, you know, I think the MITI's idea is about right, but even if they don't make a billion, if they make 100 million ringgit in revenue, these are the guys that are going to make a significant difference to our ecosystem and to the economy as well. And that's where all the kids that go to university and get all these degrees, these are the guys that are going to hire them. So we think it's important that, you know, we look at companies at this stage because their requirements are different, their needs are different, the way they behave is different, and the peer group that they need is also different. So that's why we brought all of them together because they're all quite similar. And that's why the magic actually works. If they were too young or too mature, the magic doesn't work. But if they're all at this stage and all have the same values and the same goals of trying to build this type of companies, that's where the magic works. And no one is doing enough for them, which is why we felt we should do something for them.
A lot of it speaks to, so personally, I'm looking at forward, right, at the future, and like, where's the new economy, right? A lot of, you look at the KLCI, it's all industrials, plantations, correct, oil companies, construction, property developers. But where's the tech sector? Yes, it's predominant, maybe the KLCI 100 or something, but we need to have them more predominantly present, right? Because if you look at the S&P 500, for example, what's the top 10 driving that equity market? It's, well, it's tech companies. Now, we don't have to be that concentrated, but it would be nice to have more in the larger economy. Yes. Ram, is there anything you want to add to what Doc said?
No, I think, there is definitely a gap in the startup ecosystem as far as support for those growth stage companies, right? We are not unicorns yet. You know, it's still a bit of a distance away from that. But at the same time, we are beyond early stage, right? We are in that big sort of like a, you know, middle class trap.
Yes, you know? The messy middle.
That we are neither too big nor we are too small, you know. And yes, that is the gap that we are trying to solve here. But at the same time, as we grow, right, I think the idea of the collective is that rather than a start-stop nature, it continues, right? And at some point, and I like to see that happen, where out of this group, there will be a couple of unicorn founders that would achieve that, and they will remain in the collective, right? And so the collective then will have new members who are joining in, you know, soon to be unicorns, and some who have been there, who are already unicorn stage founders, helping the collective, right? That's very powerful, right? And that is how we measure, that is how we need to measure growth, and that is how we need to scale the unicorn producing capability of the nation, right? Is that unicorns can create unicorns, right? Yeah. So that is why we did this. That is why we changed from being a program to a platform that, you know, continues to grow, that will be inclusive, will be able to last the test of time, you know. We want to be around for as long as there is a need to be around. I think, you know, there needs to be something like this. We are, you know, looking far ahead beyond the 18, obviously. But I think, you know, starting off with 18 now, I think we've just got, you know, two new applications as well. So we are at about 20 now. It's a good size. And it will only grow, right? So, yeah.
Folks, I've been speaking with Dr. Sivapalan and Viveka Raja, senior partner and co-founder of Scale Up Malaysia Accelerator, as well as Ramachandran Muniandi, CEO and co-founder of Asia Mobility. They're both the co-chairs of the Sunicorn Collective, and we've been talking about this newly formed collective, the membership-driven platform, and how it's hoping to groom the next generation of Malaysian unicorns, as well as fostering a stronger startup ecosystem in the country. You're listening to Enterprise Explores. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Binge-friendly movies. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we're exploring the newly formed Sunicorn Collective, a membership-driven platform that is hoping to groom Malaysia's next unicorns and changing that narrative for what it means to be a Malaysian unicorn, as well as fostering a stronger startup ecosystem in the country through policy, proposals, and engagement with government leaders. Helping me with this conversation, Dr. Sivapalan Vivekaraja, Senior Partner and Co-founder at Scale Up Malaysia Accelerator, and Ramachandran Muniandi, CEO and co-founder of Asia Mobility. Both are co-chairs of the Sunicorn Collective. Earlier, we got a vibe, I guess, for what the Sunicorn Collective is looking for, right? So yes, there are some numbers you're looking for because you want companies, startups that are stuck in the messy middle before you're too big and before you're too small. But also, you're looking for people with the same similar purpose, similar drive, and mission, I guess. There must be some commonality, which is something that the two of you have experienced over the 100 Unicorns program, right? That's where this all kind of came out from. And the kind of support that's going to come from the collective as well, right? That community sense. I think it should go without saying that building startups is tough. So let alone to get to the Unicorn stage and manage this messy middle. What specific challenges will the Sunicorn Collective be aiming to help startup founders face, Doc?
So you mentioned it earlier, being a CEO is a very lonely position. It's actually very lonely at the top. I mean, I've been there before as well. And one of the things that we actually need to look after, and you know, this is not something we thought about when we ran the program, but one of the things that we do need to look out for is their mental health. They go through a lot of major challenges. Everything from worrying at night about how to pay staff salaries, you know, cash flow problems, business problems, scalability issues, all of those kind of stuff. And very often they have no one else to talk to. Maybe, you know, they might talk to their spouse, you know, who may or may not be an entrepreneur. They can't generally talk about their worries to their management teams because, you know, that will create extra concerns.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, you know, we find there is a huge need for is to get them into smaller groups, smaller support groups. So we call them cell groups. So in a cell group, there's 4 to 5 CEOs. And this is where they get to know each other a little bit better. They become closer to each other. They become a sounding board. And they are also there to help you in case you have any emotional issues that you want to talk about. So these cell groups meet once a month. They spend about 2 hours. And interestingly enough, we start off the cell groups by talking about emotional things, you know. So there is a template that they have to complete that says, one of the things that it says, there are three things, but one of the things it says is, you know, what was the thing that drained you the most in the last 1 month since your last cell group? What caused you worry or pain or things like that? And this is where, you know, sometimes you don't let on that you have these issues because, you know, you're CEO, right? You've got to be brave and strong and all that. But these are the things that keep you awake at night. So with this small group, this is where you say, you know what? You know, the last couple of weeks, I haven't been able to sleep because I have this issue. So give an example, for example, someone, you know, in one of those groups, they said, you know, my investors have said I have to cut costs because it's going to be harder for me to raise money. And I looked at everything and I got to let go 30% of my staff.
Wow.
And I don't know how to do this. You know, they are my family now. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. It's really bugging me. I can't sleep at night. Who do I let go? And, you know, those kind of issues, right? They can't talk to anyone else. So this is where this group actually comes together. And amazingly, you know, because I sat in on some of these groups, amazingly they said, hey, you know what? I have already done this. I've been through this. And this is how I dealt with it. And, you know, this is where they share their experiences. At the end of the session, you know, the guy is like, wow, you know, I feel like a huge burden has been lifted off me. Because guess what? I'm not the only one that's going through this. Other people are going through similar things. And other people have found solutions that I can now use. So I think this is one of the powerful things about being in the collective, that you have this smaller group that you will get to know better. They will become among your best friends. In Ram's case, you know, Nadira is in his cell group and she even cooks for them. So, you know, everybody's really jealous about that. But, you know, this is where you build these relationships and you can count on each other.
Mm.
You know, you can lean on each other and they will help you and you will help them. This is why we say it's got to be about giving as much as receiving.
Mm.
And we have found that in the groups that give more than receive, they are much stronger groups. The CEOs also become a lot better. And I can see transformation in some of them as well, just in that 12-month period.
Mm.
You know, they are stronger. They are better people for it. And even the things that they do, the strategies that they have, the actions they do, become better because they learn from each other. So this is one of the best things about actually the collective itself. This support group that helps you in many ways and not just about how do I scale my business.
Mm. That community element, that empathy that you get from other people who are in the trenches with you, maybe in different areas, but in that same, they understand certain things, right? And this is why entrepreneur organizations and mentorship programs are so powerful, right? And we've got a few of them in country. You talk about the cell structure. Mm. I went for the EO's event last year and I was speaking to some of those entrepreneurs. And the cell structure, or I can't remember what they call it, it's so strong, right? They're all friends. They've all come through business over the last 10 years and supported each other. And that kind of, that friendship is really the only way to kind of describe it, right? That vibe, you can feel it. And there are other groups out there that do similar things. Maybe, you know, you've got Vistage that does a bit more of that CEO, C-suite kind of thing. Mm. So the Sunicorn Collective, is there a space then for it in amongst all these different programs out there, from Endeavor to EO to Vistage, for the Sunicorn Collective to find a space of its own in this networking community and mentorship space?
So a lot of the programs are for SMEs.
Mm.
Some of the collective members have been in some of these programs.
Mm.
And very often they say that, you know, when we say a few things, nobody else understands what we say. Because, you know, we are in the technology space. So I think, you know, having like-minded people, although different industries, right? Like-minded people is actually very useful.
Mm.
You don't want to be talking about something and nobody else gets what you are saying and just nodding their head because, hey, I got to nod my head, you know? And I think for the stage of companies that they are at in the Sunicorn programs, there isn't another program or similar program like this. I think Endeavor does different type of stuff, but not exactly like what we do. And besides, you know, the cell groups and all, we actually bring very successful founders to talk to them. We brought unicorn founders, for example, to speak to them. We got Steve Malhuis, our property guru. We got Moses from Zendit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We brought in someone from outside the country, Ronan Mans from Apps Flyer. It's a $2 billion US dollar company. And, you know, he talked to them specifically about how he does sales in the Asia-Pacific region. And Apps Flyer does $300 million US dollars in sales. Ronan alone does $200 million of that in the Asia-Pacific.
Wow.
So he talked about how can you build a team to scale to $200 million US dollars in sales in the Asia-Pacific. So we do some very high-level stuff, but we also go deep. Like with Ronan, it was very deep about building a sales team. Of course, we bring VCs as well to talk to them. We got Vertex in, and when Vertex came in and talked about, you know, that Malaysia is, you know, a tier two country for funding, you know, everybody really got a shock. And, you know, I remember speaking to Ram immediately after that. And the first thing Ram said that we got to make Malaysia tier one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things we want to do in the collective. You know, if we can grow all of these companies and if they can all get to $100 million US dollars in revenue, not valuation, if they can get $100 million US dollars in revenue, Malaysia will be a tier one country and we will get top level valuations. And that's going to help everybody. So I think, you know, we are very driven in a very different way with the collective. A lot of others are like programs. You know, it's training, it's coaching, you sit down, you talk about stuff, you know, but we are driven because we have a vision. We want to create $100 million companies in Malaysia. And the way we can do this is through collaboration with each other, helping each other, but also making policy changes where necessary so that, you know, a rising tide will raise all the boats, right? So we want to do that so that everyone will rise at the same time. So that's why we're actually very different from almost any other program there. I mean, for one, no other program looks at policy. You're about the only one that looks at how can we create better policy in the country.
To wrap up the conversation, Ram, is there anything you want to, any particular note you want to end on? Because I think Doc's had a few minutes to kind of talk to us about a few things. I've directed most of the questions at him. But, you know, for you as someone who is running your own Sunicorn, you're a founder, you're getting benefit from this, and maybe you see how this is going to benefit the ecosystem overall, you know? So maybe you can talk a little bit about that, right? What kind of collective contribution you see this collective providing to the startup ecosystem and economy in the longer term?
Yeah. So one of the key things that we have decided to do as part of the collective that is going to distinguish it from the previous program, the 100 Sunicorns, is to be able to function as a startup advocacy group here in Malaysia in engaging with the stakeholders, particularly government and policymakers. So we speak on behalf of the startup ecosystem. And that is what we want to do more consciously, more openly, more publicly this year. And that came about because of a trip that we did last year to Penang, where that was our first engagement as a collective at that point. It wasn't even called that back then yet. But we saw the power of us speaking as a group. Right? It's not about us trying to pitch one business over another. It's about what can we do for the state of Penang? And we presented to the Penang chief minister. And that was eye-opening for him. It was also eye-opening for us because we realized there isn't something like this happening. Right? Mm. It's always one-on-one engagement. It's about what you do very specifically. But the coming together, and then we realized actually if we put three of our businesses, what we do, and we synergize that for a state, we could, you know, bring, we could move that, you know, needle for transformation in a big way, right? And we discovered that, you know, synergy just there in the room. Then we realized, okay, that is the strength of the council of many at work, right? You then apply that nationally. You apply that to every other state. You apply that to every other ministry and industry here in Malaysia. You know, we can achieve a lot if we work together, right? And so that is what we're going to be doing a lot this year. And I think we have the potential to do a lot more there. And really function is not, it's not just a policy advocacy group, but really it's a pressure group. Mm. Right, in order to move the discussions in the right direction that will benefit the startups of today and also that is to come. Right, the startups of tomorrow needs to see that we are on a track for moving out of that tier two space that we occupy, where most VCs regionally has pegged us at. Right, Malaysia is a tier two investment country. And who is tier one? Indonesia, Singapore, and Vietnam, tier one country, from an investment valuation point of view. And what that simply means is that I could do exactly what I'm doing right now. I move my business out of Malaysia to Ho Chi Minh, and I have three times the valuation. Mm. I don't change anything. I could still have all of the guys still based here, but reincorporate the business in Vietnam, and I've got three times the valuation, right? That's the power of a tier one country. We need to be a tier one nation, right? Mm. And how do we get there? Is by us actually doing things like this as a collective, right? The nation moves in that direction and says, look, I think we've got great founders here, we've got great companies here, there's no reason why we can't be tier one, right? And start really ensuring that the policies would support that, trying to ensure that the government is actually understanding what is required for us to become a tier one country, right? Mm-hmm. But it also requires founders actually to want to play a part in that, right? And if all of us, the few of us that is in the collective now, right, and each of us make the right decisions from an investment point of view, where do I raise money from? Who do I say no to?
Yeah.
Is equally important as to who you say yes to, right? That would determine our pathway and how fast we become a tier one country, right? So that is what we have all set out to do. So I'm, you know, speaking on behalf of the other founders, I can assure you that, you know, collectively, we want to all play our part in that, that if we all can play our part in seeing, you know, Malaysia get out of this tier two stage into a tier one nation, I think we will all be really happy already, irrespective of whether we become a unicorn or not. I think that will be our single largest contribution to our nation.
Ram, Dr. Siva, always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Roshan. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Folks, I was speaking with Ramachandran Muniyandi, CEO and co-founder of Asia Mobility, as well as Dr. Sivapalan Vivekaraja, senior partner and co-founder at Scale Up Malaysia, both of whom are co-chairs of the Sunicorn Collective, which we were talking about, and of course their ambitions ahead. This has been Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And if you missed any part of the conversation, you can catch it on the BFM app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look up for Enterprise Explores. I'm Roshan Kanasan. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.